Morales doesn't like us. That's indisputable. I don't know why we let him on the show, but that's you guys doing that.
And now a dramatic reading from Sam Amick's article today.
Hey, yeah, Mason read from Sam Amick today. You going to get on him?
I can if he reads the whole thing from top to bottom.
Now, I sort of summarized it, right? I got most of it in there. So, John, we know the Eastern Western Conference Finals now. We know it's Boston and Miami. What side do you think is the betting side of that?
Boston has home court.
Yep.
Miami is a better coach. I think Boston's slight favorite.
Boston's a slight. I guess this is sort of slight. 4-7. That's heavy.
Yeah.
4-7.
Very close.
And Miami is 31-20. They're +155. So bet 100 to win 155.
Yeah. So Boston's favored slightly.
Slightly. The other series is Golden State, a heavier favorite. They are -215. So bet 100 to win 215. And Dallas is +185.
Bet 100 to win 215 on Dallas, right? You have to bet 215
to win
100.
215
to win
100 on Golden State. Sorry about that. Yeah, I'm bad at gambling talk sometimes. But yeah, so Golden State, a heavier favorite than Boston is, but Vegas has got a Boston-Golden State final. Do you think that's the way it's going to go?
I like Miami.
You like Miami?
Yeah.
I'm rooting for Miami.
I can't root for the Celtics.
No, can't root for the Celtics.
Anyone who is any Laker blood in them cannot root for the Celtics.
Nope.
Especially since we're tied with championships.
I know.
That would be bad.
We must prevent that.
Yeah. As Dr. Buss once said in an interview, anybody but the Celtics.
Momo Shelburne is on Dallas.
Well, Luke is pretty good. You know, they played four times this year. What do you think happened?
Three out of four, Dallas won.
Correct. You knew. Okay.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. 3-1
totally
Dallas.
Took a shot.
Clay didn't play.
The way you asked the question set it up to
Clay didn't play in two of those games.
Okay. Yeah.
So we'll see.
No, they're good finals, though. They're good conference finals. You know, I noticed this. This is something that I have done. That Jason Momoa is now getting in trouble for. So, Jason Momoa, who is the superstar actor, Aquaman, all that. He went to the Sistine Chapel at the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
And he took photographs inside the Sistine Chapel. Now, I've been there.
You're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to take photographs. They shouldn't exist. Now, I will confess to the fact that I did take a photo of me looking down while the camera was facing up, and I had David, you know, the hand touching, the finger touching, that whole thing on the ceiling. So I had that. But how you were at the Sistine Chapel.
I was. One of the most overrated experiences of my lifetime.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh, several people have corrected me. Miami has home court over Boston.
Okay.
But Boston's favorite. That's interesting.
Yeah. I don't understand how the Sistine Chapel, for you, can be overrated.
Well, there are a couple of things that contributed to it. We were packed in like sardines.
Which is the case. I've been there twice. That is the way it is.
You look at it. They give you like 5 minutes in there. I looked at it. I'd already seen posters.
It's a fresco.
Yeah, I've
seen posters.
Posters and
who
pictures
are you, like,
of it.
You're the guy that goes to Vegas and says, I've been to Paris because I went to the Paris Hotel.
I think if you go to Rome, you should go to the Sistine Chapel so you can say you've done it. I will not do it again.
Do you think it meant more for me because I'm Catholic?
Maybe.
I actually think that is part of it. That there is, I mean, so much of my youth was spent in church, whether it was going through my confirmation, all that stuff.
Yeah, could be.
CCD classes.
Weird thing happened to Lisa, my wife, when we were at the Sistine Chapel. We were outside, and I said, hey, stand there, I'll take your picture. And we had just bought, it was like 98 degrees that day, super hot. And we just bought, she just bought a brand new bottle of water, and she put the bottle of water down next to her foot.
Right.
And then I took her picture, and when she looked down, the water was gone. And neither one of us saw who swooped in to take it.
You don't think it was like a holy experience?
No.
Somebody just stole the water.
I think there was a kid watching people do what we did, swiping the water and then reselling it.
Really?
Yeah. Because she hadn't opened it yet.
Yeah.
I think he watched us buy the water. Then he watched us go take a picture and she put the water down. It's like those monkeys at that place where you go that steal your
like Costa Rica. They steal your wallet, steal your dinner, steal your breakfast. Yeah.
And in Rome, they steal your
I got pickpocketed in, let's see, it wasn't Rome. I got pickpocketed in Milan, Italy. And I was pretty young. This was maybe my third trip to Europe. I was traveling solo. Got pickpocketed outside one of the big Il Duomo with the big church there. And two kids came up to me waving a newspaper, like they were trying to sell me a newspaper. Mm-hmm. And then somehow got into the inside pocket of my jacket.
Oh, you didn't even have it in your back pocket?
No. They got my wallet. They got my passport. They got my credit cards. They got my traveling. I was so stupid.
Question.
Yeah.
If they got your passport, how did you get on your next flight?
So I had to go. First of all, I was grounded in Milan. I couldn't go anywhere.
Worst places to be grounded.
So I go to the American embassy, and what they had to do was to call three people that I knew in the United States.
Oh, man, I wish they would have called me. I would have said, I have no idea who that is.
To prove that
Steve
I am
Mashansky,
who I am.
He says he works with you every day. Never heard of him.
Yeah, that was scary, though. That was scary to be somewhere without any money, so stupid carrying your passport around. I would never make that mistake.
Best thing about Italy, and I have absolutely no idea why we've never stolen it, siesta. They take a nap from, like, what is it, 1 to 4, 2 to 4, something like that. Basically, everything, like, you work in the morning, then you go to lunch, everybody drinks wine at lunch. Then siesta.
Yep.
When am I supposed to be back at work after siesta?
In Italy, they call it riposo.
Okay, riposo.
Early afternoon shutdown.
Yes. And it's great because everyone honors it. Like if we were in Italy, if Mason and Iron was in Italy, I don't know if we'd be allowed to be on from 1 to 4 because nobody's working.
Oh, we would need our riposo.
Yeah.
Reposando.
Reposando.
It would just be two guys snoring. What does it say? When do I have to go back?
Let's see. It usually lasts about 90 minutes, anywhere from noon to 1:30.
Okay.
But could run as late as 2:30 to 4.
I vote 2:30
extended,
to 4. Yeah.
I vote noon to 1:30.
Now, the after effect is that everybody eats dinner super late. Like, you eat dinner at 11 o'clock at night. So we'd all be fat bastards if we lived over there.
My it's funny, eating late. I was joking with my mom and not stepdad, Leo. They had dinner on Saturday night at 6 p.m.
Are you saying that's early or late for them?
Super late for them. 6 p.m. That's like a night out on the town. It is true that as you get older, you eat earlier and earlier.
Oh, if it was up to me, I'd eat right after the show.
Dinner's at 4.
Right after the show, Lina. My wife will not allow it. She will not allow me to set foot in a restaurant before 6 o'clock.
Hit up, Ben.
And I'm like, come on, let's go. I'm hungry. What's wrong with eating when you're hungry?
I know.
She goes, it's embarrassing. I go, it's not embarrassing. I'm hungry. Let's eat. I don't find anything embarrassing. Do you find eating before 6 o'clock embarrassing?
No. No, I don't do it.
We're sounding our age right now. Yeah.
I don't do it.
Ever eat before? Well, maybe because of Maite. What time does Maite go to sleep?
8:30-ish.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't eat before 6 o'clock. That's way too.
But on the road, okay. When we're on the road with the Lakers, if I ever ask Michael to go to dinner, Michael will say what time, and if that number starts with a 7 or later, he's out, regardless of the restaurant or even if I'm paying. Hey, Michael, big dinner tonight, 7 o'clock. Let's meet in the lobby. Too late. If I go at 6, can we go 5:30? No. All right, I'll do 6. 6 is as late as Michael
six
goes.
6 is as late in the
late
evening.
Late as he'll go.
Yeah. Kevin in Pasadena is on the line. Hey, Kevin, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
Hey, man, I just want to go over the word sugoi in Japanese.
Yeah, what's it mean?
Basically, you can use sugoi anytime you're impressed. So if kid gets an A on a test, you can go sugoi. If Mason loses 5 pounds, sugoi, Mason!
Sugoi, Mason! All right, Kevin. Now, Kevin, you know this. Do you speak Japanese?
Yeah, I'm Japanese American. I lived 7 years in Japan.
Oh, I love this. All right, so we're saying it correctly, sugoi.
Sugoi, right? And to give you a bonus Japanese lesson, if you want to talk like the kids, the slang version of sugoi is suge.
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 Are the BTS kids Japanese?
No,
or
they're Korean.
They're Korean.
No, they're Korean.
So Segoy is strictly a Japanese
Korean.
Phrase.
Yeah.
Okay. Segoy.
Strictly Japanese, right?
All right.
All right. Thank you,
man.
Kevin. That's helpful. Segoy.
Segoy.
We sound stupid saying Segoy, yeah. But Segoy I can do. Patrick O'Neill sounds cool when he's saying Segoy.
Oh yeah, no, he's
like he'll hit Ohtani will hit a home run and he'll be rounding the bases and O'Neill yells Segoy.
Yeah, no, he totally worked it out.
Yeah,
totally worked it out. All right, coming up next for you, there are beer prices and then there are beer prices. Got that coming up next for you. Plus, Charles Barkley. And Shaq on Luka Doncic before Game 7.
Yeah, speaking of maybe eating your words a little bit.
We got that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, it's Monday. So another getting it cranked up for another week. We know the Eastern Conference, Western Conference Finals. By the way, a successful season for the Kings. They failed in game number 7, but it was a good year.
Yeah,
wouldn't you call it a good year?
Yeah, surprising. And Edmonton played great in game 7. That's the game 7 that I thought Phoenix was going to play.
Yeah,
but not even close.
So I wanted to bring this up because. Now, I'm not a beer drinker.
Okay.
So I don't often show up at a game and buy a beer. Jorge, you know, when we go to games. I'm not a beer drinker.
Diet Coke.
Diet Coke, always. So the PGA Championship, which is apparently this week.
Southern Hills, yep.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma. A Michelob Ultra will cost you $18.
One Michelob Ultra.
Correct. And a Stella Artois. And a Michelob Ultra Seltzer will run you $19. Now, there is
I would say I have one word to combat that.
What?
Flask.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point.
$19 for a beer.
$19 for a beer. You can buy a full six-pack, right? For $19.
Yeah, no, you get a 12-pack. I thought you said it was $30 for the can.
I'm going to fill a flask with Jack Daniels, and I'll show you how to drink one of your Diet Cokes.
When I was going to Bowling Green, and we would have these wine skins. Did you ever have wine skins?
Yeah, sure. Boy, I haven't seen one of those in years.
Yeah, where you'd wear
Why
it
did
to
those
the football
go
game?
Out of style?
I had
They're
no
perfect.
Idea.
They're perfect for games. You don't know what one is?
No, wine skin? No, what is
yeah,
that?
It's like it was something you'd see on Game of Thrones. Like you would... It's a pouch made of leather
that
you can
one.
Put liquor in it, and it has a pop top on it, so you can fill a ton. You'd probably fit a whole
you
bottle
fill
of whiskey
it up,
in
and
there.
Then you just squeeze
now, most
it into
people,
your mouth.
That's great.
And they were perfect because they're not like thermoses, so you could bring them into games.
Right.
Or,
yeah, they won't show up on the metal detectors or anything
like
that.
Google it. Look up wine skin.
Brenda's dad got
it.
One.
Brenda's dad has one?
So he brought it to the beach.
We should bring those back. We should have Mason and Ireland wine skins.
Wine skins.
Yeah, those things
that
are.
That is old school.
Yeah, that those things are excellent.
So this is the week, by the way, that all my fraternity brothers are coming to town.
Now, when do they come in?
They're going to arrive here at the station on Wednesday.
All right.
During Wednesday's show.
Okay. And so we'll meet all those guys. And then you've got a house in the marina.
Yep.
For how long?
For the long weekend, for Wednesday through Sunday.
Okay.
And I'm supposed to be tour guide, and I was kind of out scouting for locations over the weekend. I know that whole area we're in is right by, you know, that bar, the Whaler?
Sure.
Boy, I've had.
I've
some
been there on late at night.
I've had some
Matter
lost
fact,
nights
last
at
time,
the Whaler.
Last time you had a party, we stopped at the Whaler on the way. Wow. The Whaler is on the way from your house to my house.
Yes.
So we stopped for a nightcap at the Whaler, and that was quite something.
There was a legendary Dave McMenamin going away party at the Whaler. That it was just a completely lost night. So I know we're right there. And then they want to see the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which I don't. I mean,
you should talk him out of that.
Yeah,
and take him. I'm looking up the Hollywood Bowl schedule, because if you could get him there, that would.
Well, I think I've got him into LAFC on Wednesday night.
Well, that'll be fun
with Jacob Imrani. I think he's going to squeeze us into his booth, so we'll do that. But they really seem hell bent on Hollywood Bowl.
By the way, the Hollywood Bowl, or you mean?
I'm sorry,
hell bent
on Hollywood Walk of Fame. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have a star there. You could take him to the John Ireland Star. I'm one of Hollywood's big guns.
Big guns, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if they mean it is touristy, if they want to see it, they can see it. And then take them to Musso and Frank's. Is that still open?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, Musso and Frank.
They didn't get pandemicked.
Little steak tartare at Musso and Frank.
Now, you, now, what else could you do with those guys? Okay, so you could go into Hollywood one night. You should take them, to 3rd Street Promenade. Go do that.
For sure, 3rd Street Promenade. For sure.
Take them to Gladstone's. That's fun.
I thought about that. I thought about Gladstone's on Malibu is a good spot. That's a really good spot. And then you sort of get, I mean, it's not all the way into Malibu, it's sort of into Malibu. Sunset sort of dead ends.
I've told you my Wilt Chamberlain Gladstone story, haven't I?
I don't believe so. Yeah. Do you know it, Jorge? I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's good that I have
long story short. Yeah. 10 of my friends, all female sorority girls from UCLA, go to Gladstone's one night. And at the end of the night, the waiter comes over and says, your tab has been paid for by Mr. Chamberlain.
Wow.
Over there at the bar. And they, of course, invite him to come over, and all the girls are laughing and taking pictures with him and blah, blah, blah. And sure enough, one of the 10 girls goes home with Will.
Mm-hmm.
I assume she was one of the many, the 10,000.
One of the 10,000, yes. That elite club.
So my friend Tracy, who was kind of the leader of the girls, says to the waiter, has he done that before? And the waiter kind of smirks and goes, twice a week, always to a table full of multiple girls.
Wow.
And without exception, one of them always goes with him.
Wow.
And that was Wilt's whole MO. You can go and show him where Wilt used to, you know.
Work his magic.
Yeah. Segoy, Wilt.
Wilt. To you we say Segoy. All right, so Shaq and Charles Barkley were on TNT, and this was before Game 7 of the Suns-Mavericks series.
Now, not just before Game 7, but exactly 13 minutes before tip. I can tell you as a former sideline reporter that for a 7:30 game, 6 to 6:45 is player access.
Okay.
At 6:46, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
You can't approach players. You don't even ask the PR guy, nothing. They get that hour. 6:45 to 7:45, basically get ready for the game. But TNT pays billions, and so they asked Luka if he would go on with the TNT crew 13 minutes before tip. The game tipped at 5.
Yep.
This was at 4:47. Here's what happened.
Yes, indeed. Take that headset off. Go to work. Thank you very much, Luka. Thank we you. Appreciate you. And I will Thank say you. This. Sorry to interrupt you, but I want to say something. There's no way in the hell I would have did an interview before this game.
I was just going to say that.
Ain't no way.
Yeah, just was going to say that.
Ain't no way. I love that kid, but ain't no way I'm doing an interview before the game.
I agree.
I don't care if my mama, my daddy, or anybody asked me. Hell no.
Well, that was one of the reasons I was like,
that's why I said, hey, man, good luck.
I ain't going to ask him no questions.
I'm not going to ask no questions.
Because I'm not going to be the part of the reason why this dude didn't play well today.
You go,
Luka ain't concentrating on the game. He's talking to the guys at TNT.
I wasn't going to be it. I was like, I'm gone too.
Hey, he could have easily said, no, I don't want to do that.
I know. That's a different animal. They do that different over in Slovenia.
But I will say.
And then he went out and dominated the Suns.
And you know what? And good for him. First of all, good for these guys for calling it out. It is rare to see it. But at the same time, obviously, Luka is capable of talking to the media for a few minutes and then going off, which is essentially what he just did. And, you know, to me, especially if you're TNT and you're spending all that money, or if you're ESPN and you're spending all that money, you want guys like this. Like, whether it's interviewing them or miking them up, coaches at the quarters, all that kind of stuff is really good for the game. Baseball has been doing a lot of that this year. They've been miking guys up, and there was one really...
Yeah, they're talking to Justin Turner when he was DHing last week, and he was in the hole. He was in the dugout getting ready to hit.
There's a really good clip of Francisco Lindor at shortstop for the Mets, miked up and actually ended up turning a double play while miked up. I mean, that kind of stuff that brings you close to the action or closer to the action, I think makes a huge, huge difference for the fans and creates those opportunities for real fan engagement. I think that the same goes, by the way, for in addition to miking guys up, I also think that if I was the commissioner of baseball, if I was Rob Manfred, and by the way, I'd be better at it than him. If I was the commissioner of baseball, I would encourage, you can't mandate, but I would encourage every player to be on social media. I want my players to be on social media. And of sports, I think baseball is the worst represented on social media. And it's a huge way to interact and engage with fans.
Yeah. It's often,
the NBA is the best at it, by the way. The NBA, everybody's on social media.
It's often a sea of negativity. So I don't know if I
yeah, but you're promoting. It's ABP. Always be promoting. Always be promoting.
I'm not with you on that.
You don't think the NFL, the NBA benefits by guys on social media? Of course they do. It's a huge part of the NBA game is guys on social media.
Yeah. What's it done for Kevin Durant?
Well, he's 2 rings.
Right. Some people think he should have 5.
Right. But that doesn't mean he's not having fun and it's not promoting the brand. Every time we talk about Kevin Durant, it's good for the league.
One of Kevin Durant's last tweets was somebody said to him, "Why don't you concentrate on playing basketball and get off social media?" And Kevin Durant wrote, "F that." That's the type of stuff you're promoting. You know, you're writing.
Yeah,
Kevin
but
Durant,
you're the one that says the NBA should not be penalizing guys for dropping F-bombs on social media.
Right.
You made that case on Friday, and I agree. It's probably not appropriate.
He didn't get punished.
No, and nor should he. But I think it's foolish to think that it's not good for. Like for example, baseball is doing really good on TikTok. If you scroll through TikTok and you hashtag MLB or whatever it is, your team, you'll see clip after clip after clip. If you hashtag Ohtani, you'll see clip after clip after clip. Like it's really, TikTok is a really useful way to keep track of sports. And I think the same goes for social media. If I was Rob Manfred, Bergman, what do you think? If I was Rob Manfred, I would say baseball players, get on social media.
Wow. Everybody should be. So, yeah, I'm totally with you. The more that we're on social media, the better, especially for baseball, which is a sport that does not do well with it. So, yes, as much get Justin Turner talking on during games. Get whoever else you want. Get Mike Trout talking to during games.
Well, get Mike Trout talking at all.
Just get him talking.
Yeah. He is on social media. Mike Trout, he doesn't tweet a lot, but he's on there.
Could you imagine Max Scherzer talking in the middle of a game while he's pitching?
Yeah, he apparently is unapproachable when he's pitching. But
right.
He's really good at talking when he's not pitching.
Oh, yeah.
Love to hear what he sounds like when he's, like, angry. He gives up a home run. What he sounds like, that'd be great.
All right, coming up next for you, I am so sick of the moon, John.
The moon?
Yeah, I'm sick of the moon. I've had it.
All right, also, we have found evidence. Remember you said you don't know anybody with a photographic memory except Jim Lampy, and I mentioned Mary Lou Henner?
Yep.
We found evidence of Mary Lou Henner's photographic memory,
wow.
And Michelle Tafoya clarifies
her
tweet about Shohei Ohtani.
Is she listening? Is Michelle listening?
Maybe.
Is this thing on, Michelle? Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So, you know, I go to Drudge every day. That's where, like, a good news aggregation site. And
right.
He always gets so worked up about the moon. And now we have so many different kinds of friggin' moons. It's ridiculous. Like, last night was a blood moon. It's like, you know, when did all these moons start? I mean, there's like a worm moon, a pink moon, a flower moon, a strawberry moon, a buck moon, a sturgeon moon, a full corn moon.
I couldn't tell
moon,
you the difference between any of these, by the way.
A beaver moon. What is that? A cold moon, a blue moon, a harvest moon. Come on. It's just the moon. When did it get all these names?
I know full moon and crescent moon. That's it.
That's it. You don't know blood. Last night was the blood moon. I think it was like the color of blood.
Red?
Is that what it was? Did anybody see it?
Yeah, it was red. I did not see it.
It was supposed to be blood. But I'm like, what's a sturgeon moon?
I was just looking that up. It's the full moon of August, according to the Old Farmer's Almanac.
Right,
so
but it's May.
To the Old Farmer's Almanac.
And Drudge is going to stick a picture of a fish and a moon on the top of the page and say,
there it is.
Sturgeon moon.
Oh, yep.
It's the fish moon.
Come on, man. Okay, so Michelle Tafoya has responded to all this reaction to her tweet.
So we should say what her tweet was.
Yeah, you got it?
Oh, yeah, I got it. So Michelle Tafoya was watching the Angels game over the weekend, and she tweeted, enough chatter about Ohtani.
No, she says, if you read the – here's Michelle's response okay. today. If you read the tweet again, I said enough with the talk about the Ohtani baseball.
The Ohtani baseball?
She said that Patrick – and Gooby had the actual 100th home run. And somebody brought the ball up to the booth.
Oh, had the ball.
And she said that all they were doing was talking about the ball. So she wrote, I said enough talk about the Ohtani baseball. In my humble opinion, the broadcast went overboard showing the actual ball. Maybe more than they showed Ohtani himself. The home run was fantastic. The coverage of the physical baseball was a bit much.
It was interesting. So she was saying, Angels broadcast, enough with the Ohtani baseball chatter, meaning the actual ball, not Ohtani.
Correct.
This is why everything gets lost on social media. There is no nuance or subtlety.
She said, we see the baseball. The moment itself was an amazing moment. This guy's incredible. He's a freaking miracle. He's awesome. So that's her explanation of why she tweeted what she tweeted. Now, earlier you said the only person that you've ever met in your life with a photographic memory is Jim Lampley.
Jim Lampley, yes.
And I said the only other person I know that has a complete photographic memory is Mary Lou Henner. And
Mary Lou Henner was a star back in the 70s, 80s.
Yeah, she was on Taxi, right?
On Taxi, and she also...
She dated John Travolta.
John Travolta, and she was the host of a daytime talk show, Mary Lou or
All right,
Henner,
so is this Jorge from Costas when she was on with Costas?
Yeah.
All right, so she was on with Bob Costas talking about... She has a very specific memory skill. Here it is.
So here it is. Often requested, never duplicated, Mary Lou Henner.
You can name any date in the last 50 years, I'll tell you what day of the week it was. And any date in the last 20 years, and I'll tell you what I was doing on that day.
Is that right? So like when Ronald Reagan said, his defense...
You know something? I can't believe you said this, because when someone said, August... Who remembers what they did August 8th, 1985? And I said, are you kidding? It was a Thursday. And I had pasta for dinner then, and I was in Chicago. I was hosting the Oprah Winfrey Show that week, you know, and I said... You can name any date like that, and I would be able to figure it out.
Is this blessing or curse?
Oh, it's a blessing. Sure. I always have something over on people. Nobody can argue with me about anything.
So when Reagan said, hey, you know, who could remember August 85, you said, wrong, pal.
Wrong, pal. August 8th, 1985. You know.
Wow.
It was a Thursday.
Where were you when the men walked on the moon? Which was was it June or July of 69?
Who told you this?
I just picked that at random. I swear to God, I just picked it at random.
Come on. Somebody told you.
I swear to God, I picked it at random.
Okay. Maybe I shouldn't tell. Okay. I was in Chicago. I was in...
there's a shocking story right there. I didn't mean to pry that out of you, Mary Lou.
I was in high school, and it was July the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Sunday night. Did someone tell you this?
No, I promise you they didn't. I'd be honest with you.
That's the night I lost my virginity, okay?
Well, for one thing we know for sure, Neil Armstrong wasn't the culprit.
He does have an excuse, yes.
Yeah. So isn't that amazing?
So she remembers.
You can pick any date from the last 20 years. She can tell you exactly what she did, where she was, and what she was doing. That's like the opposite of you.
You can pick any day last week. Actually, you can pick any day this weekend.
Yeah.
And I can
Could I say, give me three facts about that day,
yeah,
and you'd be unable to do it.
Unable to do it.
Yeah.
You've got a good memory. I don't have a memory anymore. I wonder why.
It's weed.
It does.
Una yesca!
Slowly.
Yeah.
When did you lose your virginity?
in...
What's wrong with you?
They just asked that question of Mary Lou.
No, they didn't. She offered it up.
Oh, she offered it up.
She did on her own.
By the way, do you think tipped Costas? Somebody had to.
He seemed super honest about it, but yeah, I think somebody tipped him.
Who told you?
Yeah. Who told
you? Somebody, somebody would... I think somebody probably gave him...
Nothing's ever staged in those interviews.
No.
No, never.
No, not really.
Not really. So... Is that not an appropriate... How old were you when you lost your virginity?
Me? 19.
19?
It's kind of old.
Yeah, that is kind of old.
Maybe 18. 18 or 19, right? They're my freshman when I...
So when you...
I didn't lose it in high school.
You did not lose it in high school. Wow.
But right before college.
You weren't exactly a player, were you?
No. I
What's up, players?
Yeah.
You don't have to say it, but do you remember her name?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I will not say it.
Don't say it. Don't say it. Bergman, what about you?
I was 16.
I think that's more normal.
That's about right.
I remember the name, too.
Yeah.
You remember the name?
Anybody else's name, but I remember the name, yeah.
Yeah. Jorge?
17.
17.
Yeah.
I remember her name, too.
Now, do you even remember?
Yes, I do.
All right. Here, woman, right?
Yes.
Okay. What about when you for your other team?
Oh, God, my other team wasn't until 1987.
So how old would you have been then?
I would have been 30.
Wow.
Yeah, 30.
Do you remember their name?
You know,
both
one?
Yes, yeah, I do.
Both names? You know, one bonus.
Natalie Eric.
Yeah. Is that a combination between the two?
That is each of the two, yes.
Yeah.
Jen.
One thing about you and people like you.
Yep.
You get two of them.
True. I had a pretty good run.
Yeah, you get two
pretty
of
good
those.
Run. So you know, today is, and we just got done watching Winning Time. Today is the anniversary of Game 6 of the Lakers Sixers and the amazing game where Magic scored 42.
42, 15, and 7.
And many believe the greatest single performance in NBA history.
Until in the finals.
Until
last year. Until Giannis, Giannis dropped 55 on the Suns.
Yeah.
Yeah, but until Giannis did it last year, it was the most impressive single game performance in an NBA Finals game. And some people still say Magic's is better because Magic did it without Kareem. Kareem was back in L.A. with the sprained ankle.
Right.
Giannis did it with Middleton and Holiday and you know, did it in Milwaukee. And,
right.
You know, so some people still say Magic's game was good. You know, people forget Jamal Wilkes had 37 in that game.
Right.
A lot of Magic's assists went to Jamal. That's one cool thing about Winning Time is it's bringing all that back.
Sure.
You know, it's introducing a whole new generation to how great he was.
I remember where I was on May the 16th, 1980.
1980.
Yep.
Which is when Magic did it.
Yep.
Yeah. I was in high school watching it at my friend Cindy Stoughton's house.
I was on Natalie's couch.
Oh, wait.
That was the day. All right, coming up next for you, we got Jump Ball, and it always starts out kind of slowly.
See, I always think Monday should be better because you've had two days to accumulate material.
Stories. You're assuming that I'm just, like, finding all the stories on the weekend. And
no,
you know,
you're not doing that?
I mean, if I see something, I send it to myself.
How do you split time between being a mini boss guy? That's what I call it, a mini boss guy. And producer, how do you separate your time?
I just, whatever I need to do at that certain
time.
Like
today you did a lot of mini boss guy
things. It was a lot of mini boss stuff, yeah. I didn't have, from the second I stepped in to the second I went to go talk to you for 5 minutes.
I love that we've got you describing yourself as mini boss.
That's fine.
That's so awesome.
Half boss, half producer.
I mean, I guess technically.
He's a hybrid.
Yeah. Hybrid, like my car.
Yeah, you have a title but no authority.
Oh, yeah, zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so coming up next, he of no authority, he of mini boss fame.
Matter of fact, my fear is, Greg, that if you went and asked Amanda for a raise, she would say, I can't give you more money, but I'll give you a title bump. I'll give you, like, executive producer of the Mason and Ireland.
Oh, yeah. I was the executive producer the second I got here.
Were you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What is your official title?
My official title right now?
Yeah.
Assistant program director.
Okay. Slash
mini boss guy.
Executive producer slash mini boss.
I like slash mini boss.
Mini boss. All right, Jump Ball's coming up next for you, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Appreciate you, Key. All right, so there's a story out from last week that the Broncos could be sold for over $5 billion, which would be an NFL record. Well, Jerry Jones was asked about it, and he said he could get $10 billion for the Cowboys, but he will never sell, ever. Is his number right? And if so, wouldn't you at least think about selling for $10 billion?
No, Jerry Jones, this is his identity. It's his life.
It is who he is.
He was a hugely successful businessman in Arkansas before he bought the Cowboys, but nobody knew who he was, and this turned him into a global name. He'll never sell. And, yeah, I think he could get $10
billion. I do, too.
But I think he wants to leave it to Steven and have him run it and then have Steven's kids run it. I think very similar to Dr. Buss, Jerry Jones has now made this a family business.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain franchises that, because of their history and because of where they are, you just can't. I mean, the Yankees. I mean, what do you sell the Yankees for?
Right. And $10 billion? By the way, and that's
Lakers, $10
billion. Hal Steinbrenner, George's son, is running.
$10 billion?
People keep asking Jeannie, you know, would you sell the Lakers? And she keeps saying no.
No,
and
no.
People, I don't understand that. Like, don't believe her. I completely believe her. I think that,
oh, I don't think they're selling the
I think
Lakers.
That she's going to run it for as long as she can run it and then hand it down to her younger brothers, and they're going to hand it down to their kids. And
yep.
I think it's going to be a family business.
Yeah,
I think that's
too.
What Jerry Jones is doing.
But $10 billion seems gettable if you're the Dallas Cowboys.
It's so much money.
Yeah, but what are you going to do
with
it?
Person.
Like Dr. I interviewed Dr. Buss once at the end of his life about the transition from him to his kids. And he told me a scenario. He said, people have told me I can get billions for the Lakers. And I've told that to my kids. We can get billions. And then when I asked them, what are you going to do with the billions? They'd say, well, we want to buy the Lakers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's
so
true.
You better plan it out to the end.
Yeah, it's not like Jerry Jones is scrapping for money or anything. He's living like a multimillionaire, and he's got $10 billion in assets as of the team. There's no reason to really sell the team. It is who he is. And when your job becomes your identity, I think it becomes difficult to, like, I don't know if how I would feel about working at another radio station after being at ESPN this long. I don't know how.
It just depends how much you want to work.
Because it is very much, you know, I'm the guy from ESPN. You know, it's what I've always been. If you're Jerry Jones, if you're Jeannie Buss, that's their identity.
I'll give you an example. Look at all the NFL guys who are changing networks this year. Like,
yeah,
Al Michaels has been ABC, NBC, and now he's going to Amazon. Joe Buck has been the lead announcer at Fox forever, and he's going to ESPN. So
yeah.
Is Troy Aikman. So it just really depends how late you want to work in life. You want to keep working, you got to do it.
Corporate Greg, take it away.
So I was driving the other day and was kind of in a rush, was under time restrictions. While on the freeway in traffic, my back bumper got tapped by the car behind me. It wasn't enough to cause any damage, but enough to give me just like a little bit of a jolt. I didn't pull over and just kept going. No, I should have called Jacob.
You should have called Jacob.
I didn't pull
you
over.
You didn't even get out of your car.
No. I said, what is the correct protocol in these situations?
Accident,
I did nothing. I just kept going.
Did you check your car afterwards?
Yeah, it was totally fine. But like, I did get bumped, and it was enough to move me.
Do you have like neck thing now?
Oh my God, my neck is killing me.
No.
Oh.
I mean,
well, here's why I think you mishandled this.
Okay, yeah, that's why I want to know. What's the right way to do this? I was in a rush, by the way.
Right. Because where were you going?
I was going to Lake Estaic.
Okay.
Estaic Lake?
Just because you didn't feel anything at that exact moment
correct.
Doesn't mean you weren't going to wake up the next morning with a pain in your neck. Like Mason had, you had that L4, L5 thing where it gradually got worse.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
That's why I would have at least gotten the information on the other driver.
Yeah, C4, C5. So in your case, and I mean, I know this from dealing with Jacob Romani all the time, you think you're fine. But sometimes that injury will show up a day later or 2 days later because it's a soft tissue injury and you don't know what it is right away. So, yeah, and I would imagine it's probably just a good practice to stop, pull over, exchange information, that kind of stuff, and not do what you did.
Yeah, I was in the I was in the fast lane on the freeway. It was in traffic. We were stopped. It would have caused a whole big traffic jam behind us. I was just like, it's fine. And I'm fine now, but otherwise.
How's the neck?
Oh, it hurts so bad.
My neck and my back.
Or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
Here I sit every day telling you about Jacob and Ronnie. You get into an accident. You don't call Jacob and Ronnie.
I should have called.
How many times do I have to say call Jacob.com and then you don't call Jacob?
First call should always be Jacob.
Yes.
Jorge, what you got?
Gentlemen, you see me here sitting. I mean, you see me here. I'm sitting
yes,
down.
Yes, you are no sitting down.
I'm not wearing a jersey.
Yep. Oh, this is the first time in a while, right?
No, but I have it here. Okay. There's a reason why I don't wear it.
Okay.
I've reached the point where these soccer jerseys, these eight soccer jerseys I have left, don't fit me anymore.
Oh, really?
Wow, you're getting big.
Because
huh?
you've been wearing a jersey every single day for how long?
For I think this is my 22nd day.
22nd day. And now you've gotten to the jerseys that don't fit you anymore.
This is a sign that I need to lose weight. Yeah. Is there any point that you guys realize, oh, I got to cut it down?
Yeah, you're asking the right guy.
So how do you come to that point?
Well, Bergman, it's working so far. The Lose It app.
Lose It app.
Lose It app. They're not a sponsor, but Bergman and I are both using the Lose It app, which calculates your calories every day, and it's making a difference.
How many pounds have you lost?
Let's see. I'm at 203. So I'm down 8 pounds from my
Bergman,
high.
How about you?
I'm down 15. I'm at 188.
15 pounds.
Yeah, wow. You're going to catch me. Wow.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So the Lose It app is the way to do it. How fat are you?
I got on the scale 189.
That's probably not
189.
You weigh more than I do, Jorge.
So what is your game weight? What like if you could pick your own weight, what would you pick?
About 170, 175.
All right, so I'm 185. Bergman, what would you, if you could pick your own weight, what would you pick?
I would pick about 185.
All right, Mason.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
I would pick 203.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, 190 is my peak playing weight.
Okay.
Less than 190, and I got to less than 190 during the pandemic, and everybody thought it looked like there was something wrong with me. I got too thin, so 190 is probably mine. So, yeah, the Lose It app, man, that's the way to do it.
Join us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of us.
Jump Ball brought to you by the Lose It app.
Yeah, not a sponsor, by the way, the Lose It app.
Not a sponsor.
May or may not have talked to Justin about that.
Corporate Greg, take it away.
So every Monday morning, I take my daughter to school in Westlake. On these days, I take the coast into work so that I can do something that's different and kind of break up the monotony of driving in every day.
You take Highway 1?
I do.
Okay.
I take PCH, yep. So what do you do to break up your daily routine at least once a week?
Break up my daily routine at least once a week. I will walk the Strand. I'll go from the Manhattan Beach Pier to the Redondo Beach Pier and back. It's about 3.2 miles, takes about an hour. I will take a podcast with me, and oftentimes I will go by myself because I don't want to talk to anybody.
Okay. So when I really need, I call this a pattern interrupt. Like when you want to just you get into a site. I've told you this before. At night sometimes I'll lay down to go to sleep, and I'll have the same thought, recurring thought,
yes,
over
I gave
and over
you some
and
good,
over again.
Hints to
you gave
fix
me
that.
Good hints. So what I like to do is to go down to the boardwalk and get on one of those bird scooters and just go. I can go.
I wouldn't even know how to rent one.
Sure,
I know
you just use your credit card.
So you got to download the app, right?
Yeah, download the app. Use your credit card and go on a bird. It'll wake you up. It'll get you out of nature. It is sound of the beach and the people.
And then you just dump the thing whenever you're done.
And then
right?
when you're done, you just walk away. It's like that's it. Now I'll catch an Uber home. So what about you, Bergman? What do you do?
So that's what I'm saying. So every Monday I drive.
Your pattern interrupt.
Yeah, I take the coast so I can look at the ocean and I can see all that. I put the windows down so the ocean air comes into the car.
It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking, you know what Wilt used to do for a pattern interrupter?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Pick up the tab for
that table. Exactly.
What about you, Jorge?
I usually take my day like breakfast or, you know, lunch, late lunch or something like that.
Yeah.
Not every day. But.
I drive in the morning. I always go to Starbucks in the morning because I want to go get my sandwich. And I always drive with my windows down. I just want to wake up to the world a little bit. But, yeah, bird scooter is a great way to get around downtown or down at the shore.
Corporate Greg, take it away.
Purtle time. All right. So, Mason, give me a name, any name currently in the NBA.
Okay. Well, let's go with the man of the hour, Patrick Beverley.
Patrick Beverley. All right. So, in the East. Not a guard, taller than 6'1", younger than 32, number is higher than 22.
Okay.
So he is not a guard.
He's in the
not
East,
a guard.
And
not
he's
a guard.
Not a guard. Let's try.
Under the age of 33. I'll do it. Let's go not in the. Let's go
in the
Julius Randle.
In the East.
Julius
that's
Randle.
A good one.
That is a good one. Okay, in the Atlantic Division is a forward/center, taller than 6'8", younger than 27, number higher than 30, not on the Knicks.
Not on the Knicks.
Okay. Is
but in the Atlanta.
Is Andre Drummond younger than 27?
He is, but we did just have Andre Drummond a week or two ago. So,
but he fits all those ones.
No, let's do it. Is he younger than 27?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think he's younger than 27.
But he could give us other clues, right?
Yeah, if you want to go with Andre Drummond, sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead and use him.
Okay, he's on Brooklyn.
Yep.
There you go.
He's taller than 6'10", still considered a forward center, though. Under 28 years old, number higher than 0. So also still higher than 30. Number higher than 30 on Brooklyn.
Hmm.
Forward slash center.
Oh, it's that 6'10". Young. It's that young kid that that had the basket at the end of the Laker game. Nick Claxton fits all the checks. All
there
those
is no
boxes.
Nick Claxton. That's isn't that Speedy Claxton?
No.
There
Nick,
is
oh
no
Nick Claxton. There he is, Nick Claxton.
It what,
that is
boy.
That's the answer. It's Nick Claxton.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was going to say if not, there's got to be somebody else that's exactly like him.
No,
because he fit all those descriptions.
That is absolutely right. You got it in four guesses, and that was a quick one. We're done.
All right. Yeah, he's good. Nick Claxton is good. Well, by the way, what's Brooklyn? You know, we were talking about how Phoenix has to retool next year.
Right.
What's Brooklyn going to do? Did you? By the way, Horry, did you save that sound I had you put in on Friday from Sean Marks, the GM of the Nets?
Let's
see if you can find it. So Sean Marks had an end of the year press conference. And they asked him, you know, Kyrie can opt out of his contract. Kyrie's in the exact same boat as Westbrook. So somebody asked him, what are you going to do about Kyrie? And tell me if this doesn't sound like they're wavering on whether or not to bring him back.
I think we know what we're looking for. You know, we're looking for guys that want to come in here, be part of something bigger than themselves, play selfless, play team basketball, and be available. And that goes not only for Kyrie, but for everybody here.
Be available. Wasn't Kyrie the opposite of available? Wouldn't get vaccinated. Took two stints of AWOL. Team basketball. Want to be something bigger than themselves. Isn't that all code
it's
words?
It's funny. All these superstars at the end. I mean, I don't know if it's fair to say at the end of their careers. But, you know, Kyrie, Harden, Westbrook. All kind of pains in the ass.
Well, and all being paid major money next year if they want it. They all have 1 year left as player options. So it's interesting.
And everybody's got a decision whether or not they want to extend. I can't imagine extending Kyrie or extending James Harden.
Yet, if they opt out, will anybody else give them a deal? So I think they're all going to opt. Like, Westbrook's opting in for sure.
Yeah, Westbrook's absolutely opting
out,
in to 47.
He can't get 47.
He won't get that money, exactly.
But what about Kyrie? Kyrie's younger.
Yeah, Kyrie's a...
And some dumb GM or owner will think, well, I can straighten out Kyrie.
Yeah, Kyrie, I want no part of Kyrie. No part of Kyrie. All right, here's the story. Coming up next, A-Rod has got some ideas to improve the game of baseball. We always like that. His ideas coming up next. Plus, John, what is a standing ovation worth anymore? What's it worth? I want to put that question to you coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.